Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Munga, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother, and how are you this afternoon?
Very well, thank you, my pastor. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
Yeah, fantastic. Has your day been fine?
The day has been great. I'm at Congress for Women, for Dorcas Workers.
Mm.
So we have got about 5,000 gathered. So
oh, wow.
I'm in a corner somewhere.
Oh, lovely.
And
lovely.
See, that's a wonderful moment. I don't know how it has been down there.
Well, but I think not as busy as your side, definitely, but pretty quiet and easygoing day. It's just been fine. We are hoping that we are not going to spend too much time out of your day so that you can actually go back to servicing the people of God that side. Now, you know, we're talking about the unique beliefs of the SDA Church that make up our identity. And where do they come from? And how should we approach conversations or debates with people who choose to argue against our beliefs? And so this is what we want to cover today. So, Pastor, please recap on the unique identifying markers of the SDA Church for those who missed the previous conversation very quickly.
Thank you very much. In the first place, the mission of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to proclaim the three angels' messages that are there in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 12, which calls, in summary, people from all parts of the world to worship God as the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
To trust in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, and to be faithful to God's commandment. We also mentioned some of the unique features of the unique identity of the SDA Church. One, we mentioned yesterday that the prophetic roots or history of the SDA Church is predicted in Revelation chapter 10, that this church was predicted, that this movement will come at this time to do this work.
Okay.
And under our identity specifically is defined in Revelation 12, verse 17, which talks about the people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And this testimony of Jesus, we mentioned, it is the spirit of prophets. In other words, we are uniquely identified as people who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Now, you mentioning, Revelation 10, that it was prophesied to be coming at this time. Exactly what does it say?
In Revelation 10, what we find there is, here is the prophet who is told to eat least the Deuteronomy book. And he's told that in your mouth it will be sweet, but when it is in the stomach, it will be bitter. What was that referring to? It was referring to a great disappointment. Remember the Millerite movement of 1844?
Yeah.
Someone can even Google, you can find it. When there are these might preachers who are saying Christ was going to come on 22nd October 1844, and then Christ did not come. People were disappointed. So that is the reference that is made there, that when they preach with a lot of excitement, sold their properties, and then Jesus did not appear. They misinterpreted the event. When they were looking at the ministry of Christ, they took it that the sanctuary which was going to be cleansed, as it is in Daniel 8, verse 14 there, they thought that it was the earth. But when they went back to read, they found that actually Christ, he was moving from the holy place in the heavenly sanctuary to the most holy place where he is now, is our lawyer or is our advocate, intercessor. This is what we find there. So in Revelation, the prophet mentioned that this will happen. And when it happened in 1844, it was a fulfillment of that. But after that, the same prophet says, he was mentioned after that bitter experience, that prophesy again, meaning go back to the people. Because the normal way, if you fail, like it happened, they are just supposed to give up. But the record says, go back to the people. Yes, you made a mistake here, but go back to the people and preach. And this is what we are still doing now. To warn people, worship God as Creator. Trust the work that Jesus is doing for us now and to be faithful to God's commandments.
Interesting. Now, you know, when we talk about these unique identifying markers, you of course, you mentioned quite a number of them, those that preach, you know, Revelation 14, et cetera, et cetera. Are there any, you know, when a person meets me on the road or meets any member, lady, et cetera, on the road, or maybe meet somewhere in an event, would they be able to tell from a distance that, oh, this one must be an Adventist because this is what he's doing, this is what he's carrying, this how he carries himself, etc.? Is there a way that people can actually see? Because, with other places, some people will wear a uniform. Then you know that, oh, yes, they're wearing this uniform, so they must be belonging to that place. Or they're wearing this uniform, they must be belonging to that denomination. But here we don't see a uniform physically. But is there anything we can see physically that is an identifying marker?
There is. A friend of mine in the U.S. was going to the camp meeting and then they got lost. So they said, now, what do we do? We don't know the direction. Then one of them said, let's go to the filling station. When we go to the filling station, we will see the people who are coming there. And they went there. People came for a fueling. Then they saw a family. They say these people are Seventh-day Adventists and they are going where we are going. One of the things that they said, they mentioned that these people had no earrings. They looked that nature outlook. It demonstrated to them that. And so they say we don't even have to ask them. We just have to follow them. And for sure, after the hearing, they didn't even greet them. They just started following and they reached where they were going. So it was. I stayed with an elder sister who was a staunch Catholic, and one time during news, she saw a lady on the news, one of those who were being interviewed, and she said, "Pasmo, this lady here who's being interviewed on radio is a member of your church." And I said, "What? Why do you say so?" She says, "The way she looks, mostly SDAs in those days." And some, even nowadays, she said they are nature. They don't put these bangles, these necklaces, these jewelry around. They don't usually put them on. So that was an identifying mark. And in some places, it is still the same.
Yeah.
And also, we talk about issues like alcohol. We don't subscribe to that. Almost everyone, when people talk about enjoying, going partying, they're talking about taking alcohol, smoking. That is not identified with us. So those are some of the things. When you go to a function and say, oh, there's some beer here. And then you say, I don't take beer. I don't smoke. They will quickly ask you, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Yes, you say yes, because we are known for that also.
Yeah. Now, these are beautiful markers. For instance, you talked about our belief in abstaining from alcohol, not wearing jewelry, etc., etc. Now, are these, very essential to our salvation? And then if they're not, essential to our salvation, why should we hold fast to them then?
In the first place, these are essential because these indicators, they are like an index that when you take this, if we talk about alcohol, even if you are not a Christian, when you do a research on alcohol, how much money is spent in the world on alcohol? How many accidents happen because of alcohol? So you find the whole economies are collapsing because of that. How many government senior government officials make decisions under the influence of alcohol and the ruin that takes place there. So you find that even if you are not a Christian, some of these things are not all right. And when you abstain from them, you are not helping anyone, you are helping yourself.
Exactly.
Talk about the families. How many families are on separation because of alcohol? How much money is lost by families because of alcohol? So you find that what we are advocating is for our own health. When we talk about these things that we wear, like jewelry and the likes, the emphasis in the Bible is that We need to concentrate more on the heart, dressing the heart with the righteousness of God. Because when you talk about dressing, like our women folk, where someone can spend 2 hours just looking at herself, putting this, putting that, putting this. Now, the emphasis in the Bible is that instead of focusing more on this, why don't you focus more on the inside? Dressing your heart, decorating your heart with the truth. That is the background to that. Instead of this jewelry, a lot of this jewelry, why don't you attend to the inside? Because when you attend the inside, it will take care of the outside. I'll give you a short test. What happened one time in Zambia, we had a preacher, I think it should be Fitz Henry, Evangelist Fitz Henry from Jamaica. He preached. Then these ladies who joined the church, they went to a barber shop, women. And they requested this young man to say, can you cut our hair? Now, it was strange for him because it was the first time to have ladies coming for haircut. And then he said, but what has happened to you? And the lady said, there is a message, there is someone who is preaching in town. He has not talked about our hair. He has not talked about this. But when we looked at ourselves and we looked at the people that we are joining because of that message, we have seen it fit on our own that we have removed those hairstyles and the likes. And this man, this Baba man, was so touched that he said, for this decision that you have made, I will cut your hair for free. So that's how much far in reaching the influence. So when God touches the heart will take care of the outside. Because in most cases, we want to start with the outside and the inside not attended to. So people can morally behave on this one particular day. But when they leave that, they go to alcohol, they go to smoking, they go to this and that. No wonder the Bible's emphasis inside. When the inside is attended to, it will take care of the alcohol and the smoking, which is outside.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Now, you know, I like the example that you made that, you know, they looked at the people that they were going to be joining and they said, oh, no, we better look like these people. Now, other people may want, you know, to ask and urge you, for instance, about jewelry. You know, they would ask about, you know, for instance, the hair, the nails, etc., wanting to cause a huge debate around those things, which are not necessarily salvific in nature. Should we be spending a lot of time debating this and convincing people about this, or would God just do his work?
No, for sure we should not spend the time on that. What we need to spend time on, people being converted, taking people to Jesus, not taking people to the church, no, taking people to Jesus, and he will show them the right church. So people need to be introduced to Jesus, and when they are introduced to Jesus, introduce them to the right church. And when they are in the right church, any club on this earth has got a code of conduct. Any club. A friend, a lawyer friend, went to a meeting, and he decided to say, I said, no, let me wear like this young one. He went there without his socks, and he was charged. So any club has got standards. Anywhere. If you go to a palace, you are going to State House, you are going anywhere, you are going to be taught how to dress.
Yeah.
Now, should the church fall short of that? Anywhere you go, they'll tell you, no, in this attire, you can't enter this hotel. In this attire, you can't enter this and that. That is the normal way. If the church said, no, you can dress whatever you want, then a club becomes better than the church. Because any club will tell you that the code is this. You are going to a function. You are to, no. At this, because you are going to such a function, you put on a bow tie. Because you are going to this function, you put on this. This is a normal way. So even if we are not church people, we belong to where you are working at the Adventist World Radio, you have got a code, a dress code. That you need to dress in this way.
Yeah,
and you
subscribe
to it. If you want to be in that place. When you go to the bankers, people in the bank, they have got the way they dress. So anywhere, any society, any normal club, any normal gathering of society, has got ways in which they regulate themselves. They may not be in the Bible again. They say, no. Here there's a verse that talks about this, that talks about this. But that is normal for any particular place. Any particular society has got rules and laws. And those are to maintain order.
Yeah, these are indeed to maintain order and uniformity and dignity and, so that people can know where they are. Thank you for that, Pastor. Now, what would happen, and I can already see the implication here, what would happen if people would, compromise on these things? They're not necessarily commandments. They're not necessarily prerequisites. However, it looks like they're important as far as you're mentioning it. Are there implications of compromising on this?
There are. The implications are so serious that the people, immediately you mentioned that I'm an Adventist like yourself. Already they know that, on Saturday this man doesn't work. On this day this one doesn't work. When I was studying in the Federal Republic of Germany, I had a shock of my life. It was after classes, we were relaxing, and one man came to me, says, "Pasmo, why have you not tucked in your shirt?" Everyone had not tucked in their shirt, even himself he had not tucked in the shirt.
Yeah.
But he expected me. And when I asked him, "Well, we are relaxing and this is after class," he says, "No, but a person of your caliber, we expect you to be this."
Mm.
So when you compromise, you shock the people outside.
I see.
And the question is that when you bring the people inside, what do you tell them? So the people who are outside, they know. When they see you with beer, they will be shocked. And the same people who drink, they will be shocked. Why do you take this? You are not supposed to take this. I was attending a seminar one time. We were doing a survey for government. As we were being given our allowances in those days when they will give you the cash, this man came to me and said, "Pasmo, I know from this money you are going to return tithe and offering." And this is a non-Adventist.
Yeah.
He knows that I'm supposed to return tithe and offering. So when I don't do this, I shock the people outside the place.
Wow. So very important that we do not compromise, even when they seem very trivial, even when they seem unimportant, as it were, so that, the identifying markers, we do not shock the people out there who have been watching us all along. Eh?
Exactly. And because it's so serious that as you are there, there's one sad guy, I think one year that we looked, as you are there, you have got not less than five people who admire you.
Mm-hmm.
You are their mentor, and they will never tell you.
Mm.
So they judge themselves using you.
Mm. You mentor them without knowing, yes.
You mentor them without knowing. So when they see you sleeping down, they say, if this one can do this, then even going to church doesn't pay. So someone can stop going to church because of you without even knowing it. So that's how serious it is. Some people, we influence them directly, or may come to you, we admire the way you do things, this, but some people will never do that. So no wonder we need to be careful, because we are always on the spotlight before people on earth and before angels.
I like what you are saying, because sometimes I'm now talking about those who are all already within the fold. Sometimes you hear people calling each other out on this issue, on that issue, etc. And you hear other people saying, no, you are not Deputy Jesus. Please let me be. I don't know if you've heard it there in Zambia, but we hear it a lot in other circles where people will quickly stop you from calling them out because they just want to leave their shirt not tucked in, for example, or they just need to, put on whatever they want to put on, maybe their hair, whichever they wear, the way they want, or their nails looking the way they want. And so they say, no, please get out of that seat. It's not your seat. That's God's seat. How should people respond to that?
In the first place, you are a brother's keeper. You are a sister's keeper.
Mm.
You cannot sit quietly when your neighbor's house is on fire.
Mm.
No, you cannot. The neighbor may resist, but you have to do your part. Even when those people call you a deputy Jesus, they can mock you, but you will have done your part. And some of those people, actually, when they remain alone, they will think about it. But what that brother said was all right. So when you do not say it, you are killing them. You say it, if they will refuse, you will have done your part. You are a brother's keeper. I am a brother's keeper. So I cannot keep quiet when something is not right somewhere. And I also don't expect you to keep quiet when you not see that something is not right in my life.
Yeah.
Let me just read this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need to reprove each other. We need to correct each other. We need to instruct each other in righteousness. The only authority is the Bible. The only authority is the word of God. That's what you use when you are reproving or correcting another person. They may react in whatever way they react, you will have done your part. The only thing that when I do it, I must do it in love.
True.
When I'm correcting another, I must do it in love. Truth is painful, but we can speak it also in love.
Now, I've got a question that is coming on the line here, somebody listening to this conversation. But they're saying, but Pastor, long ago they used to say braiding our hair is ungodly. Chemical relaxers were considered ungodly. Now it seems to be a norm. Is it possible for certain parts of our Adventist culture to evolve as long as they don't break a direct commandment? That's the question to you.
You can repeat the question again.
It says, but Pastor, long ago, they used to say braiding our hair is ungodly. Chemical relaxers were considered ungodly. Now it seems to be the norm today. So is it possible for certain parts of our Adventist culture to evolve as long as there is no commandment that is directly broken?
For sure, our society is dynamic. And much as yes, there is the evolving, which goes with the culture, which goes with this. But at the shock of my life, when I was studying in Uganda a few years ago, we had students from Tanzania. More than five, we had a meeting campus ministries for all universities when I was studying there. And we had more than 500 students from Tanzania. No hairstyle on any one of them. All of them nature. And you even become like a shock of your life. That there are people who can still maintain a certain standard. We cannot judge people today to say, no, because we are putting on, you have gone to the salon, you have gone to this. Because I remember when they started actually in our case here in Zambia, the early 90s, we are seeing like the wet look.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, no, this one is fallen. But after some time, people get used and then they move on.
Mm-hmm.
Or you also be interested to know that in our church, the instruments at one time were not there.
Yeah. True.
And they were considered that if you are using instrument, whether a guitar, whatever machine,
devil.
You are calling.
Used to say that.
Yes, you are of the devil. Why? Because of what those instruments were associated with at that time. So even when you talk about the hairstyles and everything, you find that at times the people who started them may have been associated with something bad. But as people get used to something and then finally say, well, we will not break each other's bonds over hair, over fingernails, over this, but let God do his work. Because we have seen some people, they were putting on this and that. I remember a sister of mine said that we met at church. Why? What has happened? I said, no. I think I'm tired with this. I've tried this and that, but I'm better in my normal nature way. So we will know, no one is ahead will be put on the chopping board because of that.
Yeah. Right. Well, Pastor, it's been a fantastic conversation. Very clear, very succinct, very important. We do hope that our listeners are taking heed out there of this important caution and advice. Blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. God bless you and God bless our listeners.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.